Jaya 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 Jam Ajita Dosha Gribita Gunam Tvamasi Yadatmana Samavarudha Samasta Bhagaha Aja Jagad Okasam Akila Shakti Avabodh Kate Kvachid Ajayatmana Chachadato Nucharin Nigamaha Victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Therefore, please defeat the eternal power of illusion, which assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for conditioned souls. O you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings. Sometimes the Vedas can recognize you as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies. Okay. Looking at the second line, Tvamasi Yadatmana Samavaruda Samasta Bhagaha. By Atma, which we took to mean by your original spiritual identity, you have captured within yourself all opulences, Samasta Bhagaha. Okay, so discussing that line, Jiva Goswami continues, paragraph 18. Atra atma shabdena surupa matra vachakena tata bhaga shabdena surupa bhuta guna vachakene dham dvanyate. Here, the unspoken implication is made by the word Atma, which indicates his basic self, and by the word Bhaga, Which indicates the qualities of that inner self. So there's a connection between the Atma and the Bhaga. The Atma is the self, the Bhagas are the qualities of that self. So that implies the following. Surupadi Shabda Ishwaradi Shabdas Cha Swarupa Matra Valambanaya Swarupa Bhuta Gunavalambanaya Pi Rudya Nirdeshtum Shaknuvanti Ti. The implication is that words like Swarupa and Ishwara, which are not mentioned in this verse, but they're implied, are capable of describing him by their conventional meanings, which are based on the facts of his self and the qualities of his self. So the Upanishads don't normally name the personality of Godhead specifically. That gets sectarian. There are those who think the Lord has this name or that name. Some think he's Vishnu, some think he's Shiva. Some think he shouldn't have a name. So the Upanishads don't get sectarian. They stay general. But they do talk in such terms as Swarupa, the Swarupa of the Lord, of the Supreme. If the Lord has a Swarupa, Rupa means form. Or at least, even if you take it more abstractly, a thing can have a Swarupa without having a visible form, a personal form. It has its identity. But identity means to be something and to have some qualities. You can't be nothing and have an identity, have a Swarupa. So just using the term Swarupa in reference to the Absolute Truth is making it specific, giving it, allowing it to have qualities, even if they're not specified. And then when you call the Supreme Ishwara, as he's called in some of the Upanishads, Kathopanishad, certainly Shvetashvatara Upanishad, use the term Ishwara. That is talking about a personal creator, personal controller, without giving him a particular name. So Ishwara is considered a Gauna Nam of the Supreme Lord. It's a secondary name. It doesn't really refer to his specific individual personality. Someone else could also be called Ishwara. It doesn't refer to his pleasure pastimes, but it does identify him as a person. So that words like Swarupa and Ishwara are capable of describing him by their conventional meanings. These words have direct meanings. We don't need to resort necessarily to figurative usage or subtle implications. Just by their direct meaning, these are describing a supreme person with qualities. And, okay, these, now the such shrutis that talk like that are Shrutayascha Yadatmako Bhagavan Tadatmaka Vyaktihi Ityadya Parasya Shaktir Vidaiva Shruyate Ityadya Kascha. Statements of Shruti such as what the personality of Godhead consists of, that his visible appearance consists of. Unfortunately, I don't have a reference to that one yet. It would be helpful to be able to say that it's actually this Upanishad that's using the word Bhagavan, but I don't know where it is. And the other statement is from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. It doesn't use the term Bhagavan here. The Shvetashvatara Upanishad does use the word Deva and the word Ishvara. Here it's just using the word para. Para asya shaktir, of this para supreme, vividaiva shriyate. We hear from Shruti, that the Supreme has many energies, various kinds of energies. So that's the Shruti saying that the other Shrutis confirm that it's not the Shvetashvara Upanishad, just one out of thousands of Shrutis, the only one saying that the Supreme has personal qualities. It's confirming that, in general, the Vedas say this. Parasa Shruktir Vividaiva Shruyate is heard in the Vedas. Even the Upanishads that seem to be impersonal, they're saying things about the qualities of the Supreme. Satyam Gyanam Anantam Brahma. The Absolute Truth is pure consciousness, unlimited. But those are qualities. Those are qualities of the Supreme Person. Consciousness. A person has consciousness. A dead thing does not have consciousness. Okay. Let's look at the commentary. In the first prayer, the word Atma, own nature, and the word Bhaga, opulence, out of the phrase Atmana Savaruddha Samasta Bhagaha, by your nature, perfectly full in all opulences, suggests something about how it is that the Vedas can describe the Supreme. As these two words affirm, the Supreme is a person with many wonderful qualities. Material duality must be absent from him. But if he is actually the Supreme, who can stop him from exhibiting spiritual variety, even though he is one and unchanging? Okay, I have to make a minor change here. Correction, the word, the ing is missing here. Okay. Okay, from exhibiting spiritual variety, who can stop him from exhibiting spiritual variety even though he is one and unchanging? He has all variety. He has his variety, called vishesha by some, to distinguish it from material duality, and suitable words can describe that variety. The word dwanyate here is used literally, and it means echoed, is echoed. In the context of poetry, this echoing is the same as vyanjana, suggestion, the third mode of word usage. The first mode is abhida, or literal reference. Words obtain their literal meanings by either grammatical derivation, yoga, or by convention, rudhi, or by a combination of both. Conventional meaning has precedence over derived meaning. The word sarupa is derived from the adjective swa, own, and the noun rupa, form. Its yoga meaning would thus be one's own form. But by convention, sarupa has a more specific meaning, essential identity. Even a thing that doesn't have a form, a visible form, can have a sarupa in the technical sense. Ishvara similarly means capable of controlling. It means that from its derivation from the verb ish, to control, and from the suffix vara, which expresses the idea of having a natural tendency. Thus, by the derived meaning, anyone with any control, is an Ishvara. But by rudhi, the word refers to the Supreme Controller. The second mode of word usage is lakshana, figurative indirection, by which Krishna can call Arjuna a lion among men, although Arjuna is not actually a lion. The third mode is vyanjana or dwani, by which words which have already passed through the first and maybe second mode suggest further meaning. Arjuna's being called lion among men suggests his heroic prowess. Similarly, by using the words Atma and Bhaga in glorifying Lord Narayan, the Shruti suggests, without saying explicitly, that the Vedas can indeed describe him in words. Okay, actually we already read this Thursday. But anyway, any further comments on that? Yes.
This is like general question, but when such things from Upanishads come, then how do you find out from how, means the reference, like it's such a small sentence, so and Upanishads have so much vast data, so how to find the small sentence, if somebody wants to find the reference?
Sometimes we can't find it. We have a few reference books. There's one word index of the Upanishads, of major Upanishads, not all of them, that helps us look by looking up a single word, you may be able to find it, even in the middle of a sentence. But it doesn't index more than 10 or 11 Upanishads. Then we have a big index of 250 Upanishads by line, but you have to be able to get the whole line. And I think it's not every line, it's only the main lines. First and third line there. We're working from printed editions of the Sandarbhas, especially the edition by Puridas, was very carefully edited, and they looked up a lot, they found a lot of the references, and they indicate in that edition what most of the references are. It's the ones that they don't know that we're searching for. This book was published in 1951, but it has a lot of the references included.
At least generally in Harinamrut Vyakaran, some such things come. Then there are other commentators who have commented that, this is from this.
Not always. Usually commentators, Sanskrit commentators, assume they're talking to an educated audience and don't tell them the verse references. Usually the Sanskrit commentators don't tell. Any decent pundit's supposed to know where these verses are coming from. They may mention the name of the Upanishad, but they usually won't give actual numbers.
So then we have to just manually go through the book page by page and search, or do we have like kind of Veda base and search?
No, we don't have. I have about maybe 15 Upanishads typed in. We have, the rest are just in printed editions. And someone can try, but it's pretty tedious. If you don't have no idea which Upanishad, to go through 250 Upanishads looking for a single phrase, I don't think anybody has the patience to do that. You spend a few days looking for it, and you space out for a minute and skip over it. It's right in front of you. You skip over and you keep on going through the whole book. So sometimes we're just stuck. We don't have the resources sometimes to find. Maybe we should type in all the Upanishads, but who's going to do that? Okay. Yes? No? Okay. So we move on. Okay, now we're talking about the Swarup Shakti. The last statement we read from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad says the Supreme has many different kinds of energies. So this Swarup Shakti. Sacha Swarup Shakti Sarvayar Eva Avagamyate Ityahu. Moreover, that internal energy is actually perceived by everyone, as the Shrutis state as follows. Now this is interesting. The Mayavadis deny Swarup Shakti. They say that they don't deny Swarup, but they say the Swarup of the Supreme doesn't have any Shaktis or any other qualities. We're insisting, yes, Swarup Shakti And now, Jiva Goswami is saying everybody actually has experience of that Shakti. And the Shrutis tell us that. So here's what the Shrutis say. This is from the third line of that prayer. Agani, Stavarani, Jaganti, Jangamani, Okamsi, Sharirani, Yesham, Tesham, Sarvesham, Jivanam, Ya Akila Shaktayas, Tasam, Udbodaketi Sambodhanam. Aja jagad o kasam akila shaktyava bodhagate. Well, okas usually means residence, a place of residence. When it comes at the end of a bahuvrihi samasa, then it means the resident. But the word okas doesn't mean a person, it's a neuter noun, and it means place of residence. At the end of a bahuvrihi compound, then it means a person who has that residence, a resident. So the Ajag Jagad Okasam, we can take that to mean the residents of the universe who are Aja and Jagad, the non-moving and moving residents of the universe. You who are the awakener of all the Shaktis, the energies of these living entities. But Jiva Goswami takes it, I didn't read the translation. Let me read it. The Shrutis address him as he who awakens all the jivas who have non-moving and moving residences, bodies. So actually he's taking okas to mean residence in the sense of body, material body. The soul resides inside the body. Some of the bodies are aja, non-moving, and some of them are jagad, moving. Hold on a second. Teshu Vichitra Shakti Vyanjakata Darshanat Mayaya Api Mayaya Api Twad Ikshanenaiva Kshamatwat Twam Sarupa Buddha Shesha Shakti Lahari Vadnakara Ityanumiyate Ityartaha. What does Anumiyate mean? Is deduced, anuma is deduction. Anumiyate is the passive present tense, it is deduced. And what does the word lahari mean?
Waves.
Waves, yeah. Ashesha shakti lahari ratnakara. Ratnakara is the ocean, but it means literally the reservoir of jewels, because jewels are produced by the ocean. So it's the ocean that has countless waves of energies. Okay, that's the absolute truth. In other words, Maya, whom we see manifests many different energies among these jivas, becomes capable to do this only by your glancing over her. And from this we can infer that you are the gem-filled ocean whose waves are your countless internal energies. Okay? Or alternatively, yadva, or we can understand this a different way. Nanu maya hananena tad upadir jivasya tu Shakti hani syat tatra huhu ageti. Or alternatively, but if Maya is destroyed, the question is asked, rhetorical question, or Purvapaksha, someone is asking, but if Maya is destroyed, the energy who is the Jiva, an imaginary feature of Maya, will also lose all his potency. That's interesting. Jiva is a production of Maya. So destroy Maya, you'll destroy the Jiva's energy. And he'll be destroyed. Because that's a false argument. The Jiva is not a product of material Maya. How do the Vedas answer that? Artaha Purvavadeva. Well, the meaning is the same as given above. I mean, the answer is the same, but the question is different. So, what was said in the other interpretation was, Maya, whom we see manifest different energies among the Jivas, becomes capable to do this only by your glancing at her. And from this we can infer that you are the gem-filled ocean whose waves are your countless internal energies. Anyway, even if you say that the Jiva is given his powers by Maya, but those powers are derivative, they're coming from the Supreme Absolute Truth anyway. So if the Supreme Absolute Truth dispels the Maya, he can still give his energies to the Jivas directly, without the Maya in between, or through his internal energy. Tata Swarupa Shaktiyaiva Pratyuta Tesham Sukaika Prada Purna Shaktir Bhavishyatiti Bhavaha. Thus it is, rather, by the Supreme's internal energy only, that the potency of the Jivas will become complete, and that will give the Jivas pure happiness. When the Jivas are being empowered by the material Maya, their life is incomplete and they're not really happy. That Maya should be dispelled because their life under that Maya is unsatisfactory. So it is appropriate for the benefit of the Jivas that the Upanishads are praying, please dispel that Maya. When that happens, the Lord's internal energy can take over the lives of the Jivas, and then they'll actually become complete and happy. Atre tam tatasta lakshanena shrutayas charant it yuktam. And so, in this case, it is by the Shrutis describing his secondary characteristics that they are said to refer to him. The Lord's primary characteristics are his personal qualities, his personal life, his personal pastimes. These are his direct his primary characteristics. His secondary characteristics is how he creates the material world and takes care of the living entities in the material world as a supersoul. Those are his secondary characteristics. The Vedas sometimes describe these secondary characteristics of the Supreme as a person, as the Supersoul. Shrutayascha ko hyevanyat ityadika pranasya pranam ityadika tameva bantam ityadika Dehante devastarakam brahma vyachaste. And finally, yasya deve parabhaktir yata deve tata gurao tasyaite katita hiarta pakashante mahatmana ityadyascha. These are statements of Upanishads describing the Supreme's characteristics, secondary characteristics, as the Supersoul. and translations. Who could even live? That is, the full statement is, who can live, who can breathe, if the supreme life air was not the absolute truth? And also the statement, he is the life of the life air. This who could breathe is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Anyway, this is all discussed in the commentary, which of these verses is from where, and the full verses. I'll just give these parts. He is the life of the life air. And because of his illumination, everything else shines, reflecting his light. At the end of his life, that Lord uttered the mantra for liberation. Well, okay, we'll have to see what the context of that is in the commentary. And finally, from the last word of the Shvetashvata Upanishad, to that wise soul who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and equal faith in his spiritual master, the purport of everything spoken herein reveals itself. Okay, now let's see if there's further explanation in the commentary. The Supreme Lord's Swarupa Shakti creates the intimate environment of his private life and refrains from revealing itself to fallen souls who do not deserve to participate in that life. Thus only those who are fully self-realized can know the secrets of the Swarupa Shakti. But even ordinary people in their daily life in this material world experience the effects of the Lord's personal Shakti. Maya, the Shakti who controls material existence, is an expansion of the Swarupa Shakti. Through the Swarupa Shakti, the Lord dictates how Maya should regulate the life of conditioned souls. The Lord has no use of material Maya for himself, and his only direct involvement with her is the single glance that empowers her to evolve the creation. All the potencies the conditioned souls come to possess are given to them by Maya acting as a representative of the Swarup Shakti. And so from the effects which are their own capabilities and urges, the jivas should be able to deduce their cause. The jivas have their capabilities. They should think, where do my capabilities come from? They may give credit to material nature, but they should understand from the Vedas that material nature is empowered by the Supreme Lord's internal energy. Shvetashvatara Upanishad makes that clear. The Lord's personal energy gives the power to the material energy to give the living entities their various material assets. At least the jivas should realize that powers beyond themselves are influencing them in every aspect of their lives. The phrase Ajajagaroka Sam, Akila Shaktya Vabodaka, O you who awaken all the energies of the moving and non-moving embodied beings, is from the first prayer of the personified Vedas, beginning with the words Jaya 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 Jam, which was cited in text 97.14. As this prayer expresses, the Upanishads indeed have much to say about the source of all the potencies of the finite living beings. The Supreme Truth, Brahman, whom with a little careful thought, the jivas should be able to recognize. They should think as follows, as described in the Upanishads. Ko yev anyad kak pranyad yadesha akasha anandanasyat. That's the Taittiriya Upanishad. Who could breathe and who could live if this supreme sky, akasha, were not ecstasy itself? the Akasha, that from which everything else is created, is actually the Ananda, the all blissful supreme personality of Godhead. And then other statement from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter. Pranasya pranam uta chakshushas chakshur uta shrotrasya shrotram anasyanam manaso ye mano viduhu. They know it as the life air of the life air, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the food of food, the mind of the mind. Well, it's not literal. Your eye doesn't have another eye inside it. You know, the eye is some person by itself and he's got his own eyes. No, there's no eye inside the eye. But the power to see, the faculty of sight that your eye possesses is coming from that power within the Supreme. Because the Supreme can see, therefore he empowers you with your eye to also see. So in that way, he is the eye of your eye. He's the power that gives you the power to see. That's the super soul. Not only the eye of the eye, but the life air of the life air, the ear of the ear, the food of food, the mind of the mind. Food gives you strength to live, nourishment, energy, substance, but that's all coming from the Supreme Absolute Truth. So he's the food of food. Okay, and then there's that statement from the Shvetashvata Upanishad, which comes in the middle of this verse. Na tatva suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuyuto yam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya pasa sarvamidam vibhati. In that world, the sun does not shine, nor the moon, the stars, or lightning and electricity, but to speak of ordinary fire. Only as the reflection of his radiance does everything else give light. By his effulgence, this entire material world is illumined. Okay. Well, what does that have to do with it? Well, just like the super soul is giving you the power for your functions, your senses to function, there's also the demigods. The sun, moon, these are controlled by demigods. They have their powers. The sun shines, the moon gives its light, the rain falls. They're empowered by the same super soul. The power of the demigods to control our lives and provide necessities of our lives are also coming from that same supreme person, the super soul. The verse beginning Yasya Deve is the very last statement of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, in which the Shruti is declaring its power to reveal Deva. The word Deva is used, meaning the personality of Godhead, whose transcendental nature is considered at length in this Upanishad. Conditions, however, are stipulated. One must have faith in him, in his power and benevolence, and equal faith in one's spiritual master, his representative. When the required faith is in place in one's heart, the Lord's Swarup Shakti, acting through the text of the Upanishad, reveals everything one needs to understand him and revive one's relationship with him. So not only are the Upanishads saying something about the Absolute Truth, they are the empowered means of revealing the Absolute Truth. You want to establish a personal relationship with the Absolute Truth, it's the Shruti, or the representative of Shruti, the scriptures, that will give you the ability to make personal contact with the Absolute Truth. Okay, any comments?
It's mentioned that the absolute truth reveals itself through the Shrutis. So, does it mean that depending on the advancement in the consciousness of an individual, the Vedas reveal themselves differently to each person?
Definitely, that was discussed a few paragraphs back.
Yeah.
That they can describe the personality, the Supreme's qualities, but only when the person who's listening is receptive. It has developed the capability to understand. To other people who are not ready, they can't explain the personality of the Supreme.
Okay.
Anything else?
Guruji mentioned that Swarup Shakti can be recognized by the living entities.
Even said, Jiva Goswami said that everybody recognizes it. Everybody has experience of it. You may not really recognize what it is, but we do have experience of it.
That is like, it seems like you are not experiencing directly, but you are deducing, like assuming.
Well,
that's what you
are. We're experiencing the power of our own mind and senses. And if we don't recognize that that's actually the influence of the super soul, that's our fault. We failed to put two and two together. But if we thought clearly, we could understand that this is a super soul acting.
I didn't get it, sorry.
The fact that our senses are able, our mind is able to understand things in the mysterious ways. We can't remember something. We're struggling to remember it. And then all of a sudden we remember it. Or some amazing insight is given to us that we didn't figure out by some deduction, it just comes to us. We should recognize that intelligence is being given to us from some higher source. If we don't recognize it, that's our foolishness. Where does your insight come from? You didn't figure it out by any mathematics. You didn't put two and two together. The answer just came to you. We should recognize that's the power of the super soul. Someone more intelligent than us that is guiding our lives. No?
Yeah.
We should, but most people just don't think clearly, and they don't deduce what they could deduce.
One small question from the previous one, I just. In your in the commentary of the previous verse, you mentioned one part that fourth line from down, by which words which have already passed through the first and maybe second mode suggest further meaning. What does that mean? One word can have all this lakshana, dvani, everything together, like?
Yes.
Fourth line from last.
Yeah. It's already passed. Yeah. Yes. For a word to have the second level of meaning, it has to first of all have the first. For a word to have a figurative meaning, it has to first of all have a literal meaning. On the Ganga means on top of the water. If we don't understand that, then we cannot grasp the figurative meaning, that it doesn't mean exactly on top of the water, it means on the bank next to the water. But first of all, there has to be a literal meaning that's understood. When it's obviously not appropriate, then we can figure out the secondary meaning. And also with the tertiary, the third level of meaning, suggestion. Suggestion is created either by the literal meaning or by the figurative meaning, if there is one. So it has to go through these steps. You can't reach the second step without first going to the first. You can't reach the third level without first going to the first or maybe the second. You can jump from the first to the third, but you can't go to the third without first going to the, at least to the first level of literal meaning. Not every statement has a secondary or a third meaning. But to get to the second or third level, you have to first of all go to the first level, the literal meaning.
Thank you.
Yes.
About this verse, it was said that we can perceive Swarupa Shakti by the special power, special revelation. But at the same time, it looks like the Shilji Goswami, he says that even Maya can give us these revelations or this Shakti, this ability. And then he gives Maya can give us some power of thinking or some strength or anything. And then he makes an answer, further statement. He says that actually Maya gets this power from the Supreme Lord. So does that mean that whatever we see, either given by Maya or given directly by the Supreme Lord, is coming from him? We should see it. Because
we can see that all things are coming from him. But information that's given by the material energy is illusory. People are informed by the material energy that you are such and such a person, you belong to this nation, you're such a powerful person, you have this much money in the bank. This is the information given by the material energy. You can say, yes, that's actually being given by Krishna through his material energy. But that's illusory information. We don't want that information. We want to put that information aside and find the essential information. Who am I really? I don't care how much money I have in the bank and what nation I belong to. Who am I really? That information can only be given by the Lord's internal energy. So I don't know where this statement is. You have to show me. The Maya can give us knowledge, but only material knowledge.
Does that mean that you...
That's the Vidya Shakti of Maya. But Jiva Goswami was talking how we have to give up that also. When we ask the Lord, when the Vedas ask the Lord to conquer that unborn Maya, they're asking to defeat, to dispel both Avidya and Vidya, material knowledge. They want that to be dispelled also.
Does it mean that, for example, when we have some special revelation or invention, like somebody makes something very wonderful, that this knowledge to produce it, to create it, was given by Maya, or actually it was Supreme Lord who inspired as a super soul in this case? Or we can see that, or we should say that only spiritual knowledge can be given by Supreme Lord, but material knowledge can be given both by Supreme Lord and Maya.
The super soul is not really giving us knowledge. Well, he's giving us Gyanam. The super soul is participating in the living entity's material life in a very limited way. They're expressing desires, and he's giving them hints how they can fulfill their desires. The thief is looking for a house to break in. The super soul's points out there's a window open over there. So I don't know if you'd call that giving knowledge. It's giving information. So the super soul is giving limited pieces of information. And that's a sort of material function, yes.
So in this case, should we see in all our day by day dealing hand of Maya or hand of Supreme Lord?
We can see both. As long as we're living in the material world, the hand of Maya is everywhere. So you want to see Maya, you don't have to look very far. You can look in your own heart and see plenty of Maya. You don't even have to open your eyes to see Maya. So a devotee living in the material world can see the influence of the material energy in almost everything, but he can also see Krishna's hand in almost everything. Both energies are working in the material world. The material energy is the domain of the material energy, so it's certainly the material energy is working on everybody and everything. But Krishna has direct connection with his devotees in the material world. And so his internal energy is working on the devotees. So a devotee can see both in the material world.
That means to say that if we get a spiritual insight, that is of internal energy, and if it is a material insight, that is of material energy, like that?
Pretty much like that, yes. But, you know, there's sometimes it's not obvious what's the difference between spiritual and material. What pleases Krishna is spiritual. Even if it's utilizing material objects, if it's utilizing material objects just for Krishna's pleasure, we have to call it spiritual. So it's the usage of things, not the substance of them, that distinguishes between what's spiritual and material. Okay, we'll stop here for now. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.